Jazz, and we're on. Here we are. Good to see you, both of you. I'm here with my friends, Allison, Chris. They are online.
On the internet.
Yes, just like Instagram, on the line, immediately. Whoop, there we
are. Allison and I are exactly like Instagram. It's the best analogy.
I mean,
simile.
What was that movie? Was that The Intern, where he was like, somebody joins Google and he's like, I have this great idea. Like, what if you take a picture with your phone and like, boom, it's immediately on the line. You're like, you just created Instagram. He's like, no, it's totally different, and tries explaining it in a million different ways, but it's really just Instagram. Don't remember the movie. It's good though. Don't even remember who the actor was. Probably could have been any actor. It was like a, you know, mediocre movie in the...
Wait, I faintly remember posters for this movie. It was like Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro or someone like random. Maybe not Robert De Niro.
Now we need to find out.
It's just like the most established actor I could think of in my brain.
Okay, so that is definitely a movie in 2015, The Intern.
Whether or not it's the movie you're referencing.
It is not, because I'm thinking of The Internship. With Vince Vaughn, who says something about it being on the line.
Is one of the Wilson brothers on that?
Oh. Yeah, Owen, yeah.
I mean, they seem to travel in pairs, but...
Yeah. How is he doing these days?
Owen Wilson? I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I don't know Hollywood celebrities, Gary.
You will by the time we're done with you.
I mean, we've exhausted my list of Hollywood celebrities now.
Oh, I don't think there's any Allison questions for the end. Okay.
There aren't.
It's a problem for future Allison.
That's a problem for Allison in 38
approximately
minutes.
30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Somebody said something about, oh, I have to find this. Yes. Please bear with me a moment.
Should somebody do
I had a conversation about Future Gary yesterday. Ah, here it is. It was like, there was a company survey, and it was like, why not spare yourself a prodding ping and take 3 to 5 minutes to fill it out now? Your future self will thank you. And I replied, you think much more highly of my future self than I do. No one emojied or reacted in any way.
I don't know. Wait, sometimes I feel like these people don't get you.
It's true.
I lied because the first response after it that I guess I apparently ignored.
Oh, well, that seems more like you.
11:21. Yeah, that does. I posted 11:21. The response was 11:23. Of course, 2 minutes. That's why I missed it. I got distracted. Someone said, I think highly of every Gary Kovar self, past, present, and future. I have to give it a hug.
A nice thing to say.
I'm glad I showed up here today and can get distracted by work
Slack work.
To hang out with you all. Let me kill Slack.
Welcome to another episode of Gary Reads His Work Slack Aloud.
Welcome to another episode of Gary Closes a Bunch of Windows.
Yeah, I should unplug my external monitor. Hold on, I'm killing things right now. I should have saved that.
The way you started off with intros, though, reminded me of... kind of just old school answering machines and how people would start off leaving messages. I don't know, maybe just my friends. They'd always start off just being with some like, hello. And then like, just like not get to like any of the like point of the call until like 30 seconds in.
I have a friend that I've been friends with for many moons. I've been friends with him for more than half of my life. We became friends when I was 18. So, yeah. In any case, he, back in the day, like pre-text messaging, we would leave each other lots of voicemail, you know, as you do. Because often I would call and he couldn't answer. And the reverse was also true. He'd call while I was in class or whatever. And the gimmick became like, let's see how long we can talk and not say anything. But try and time it so like the last thing you say before the voicemail service cuts you off is like the topic you are actually calling to talk about. So sometimes you could get it out and then it was like so satisfying you would spit out the topic, you know, much like when we finish a sentence here before Zoom cuts us off. And we'd finish the topic and then it would say, you've reached the maximum recording time. Which was all well and good until, I think it was like 60 seconds, until AT&T was like, oh, you can have 5 minutes. I didn't know this. And so I left my message and finished my topic. And nothing happened.
Just let it hang.
What's going on? And so I had to talk for 4 more minutes to fill the time. And then fortunately after that, text messaging came around and...
I would like to interject a point.
Really,
before you're yeah, my
no, I wasn't going anywhere. You should have the whole floor.
The point I would like to interject is around the feeling satisfied when you complete a sentence before Zoom cuts us off, because I feel satisfied when Zoom cuts us off mid sentence before we're able to actually finish the thought that we started before Zoom cut us off.
Where was I going last week? I was going somewhere last week, and I knew we were at the end, and I was really dragging my feet. I don't even remember the topic.
Something about space.
Yeah, that seems like our topic today is orbital dynamics.
The thing is that I'm fairly sure that's actually accurate. It's also it's the default answer for all things Gary, but also I think it's not wrong.
Yeah.
But not in the 2D way. Like, you keep it exciting.
It's true. I mean,
you have more of the latest space news.
Yeah, there's lots of space things that are new and original.
If I shared everything I was excited about space happenings, I don't think anyone would ever talk to me.
That would be a Twitter feed that I would read.
Would it really?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I follow some,
I don't know what that says about me, but...
that... I'm amazed at how much information they get. Some of them, it's their job. You know, they're reporting on the space industry. But some, I'm just like in awe of the things that they research and find out. Like, oh, well, this is it, fascinating, .. And it's, you know, generally it is. But often there's like a lot of context that gets to the point that's fascinating. And it doesn't translate well to Twitter. But there are some nerds out there who really appreciate their hard work. Make my life better. Or at least spacier.
I have my brain is full of D&D things these days. That's all my brain is full of. That's the only thing I can talk about anymore.
People ask you about something else and you're just
No, it's totally, it's just going to go straight there. Yeah. Honestly, like, I keep thinking about it. I keep having this thought, like, so... When I started my career in web development, there was no such thing as all of the things that are out there. I mean, so, okay. On a D&D timeline, when I started my career in web development, D&D was at like third edition, I think, and everybody hated it. And nobody was playing, or it wasn't a thing that people were talking about. Only like really extreme nerds in like back alleys were like rolling dice. Like literally like that's such an amazing
while calculating picture. Orbital yeah. velocities. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Today, like as of like last year or 2 years ago, there is like an officially sanctioned place to like sell homebrew materials. And so in the last 2 years, there's been an explosion of like indie developers and indie, like D&D creators. And like the term professional dungeon master has emerged as an actual profession. Had I known, when I, started my career in web development, that professional dungeon master would someday be a thing, like an actual occupation that you could make money doing, I think I would have made a few different career choices.
I'm pretty sure professional dungeon master existed when you started web development, but meant something entirely different.
Alan, you'd be signing up for a much different job position.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's probably fair.
But it's never too late to become a professional dungeon master.
You say that, I see that. This is the thing. This is the thought that
of
has
all
been,
the professions. It's not like you're coming. No offense, Gary, but it's not like you're saying I'm going to be an astronaut.
It's yeah. That this is the thought that has been like that I've been thinking about like for the last several weeks. Like seriously, like it would be awesome. I would love to do it, but I don't know that I could do it at the scale that I currently am. Like it would need to be equivalent to the amount of financial stability that I have now. And I don't think that professional dungeon master is going to be equivalent to where I am right now.
Well, no matter how hard I work. If it does, it would require like a trade-off of some sort. Like you'd be traveling a bunch or you'd be right. Like,
yeah,
I'd have to turn myself, into Matt Mercer, which charming individual, I'm sure. That's not who I am. Also, like he and everybody else that does Critical Role and everybody else that does a lot of these like D&D podcasts are like they have a side gig which is voice acting, and I could totally do that. Like I get that. Like I have an awesome life. I could probably like sell myself on Fiverr or something. But like, how do you break into to voice acting as a early 40 something nobody who has no background in acting, in professional acting? I don't know. Question. Yeah.
Well, that's a different, that's a fair question, but I don't think it's an insurmountable.
It's different than the professional dungeon master thing though.
No, but you're talking about like to get this thing, it makes sense to pair it with something else.
Right. Yeah.
That I can also do from home or blah, 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 blah. Like.
The answer is, I don't know, but, I think you should explore it a lot more.
Sort of a rhetorical question. Yeah.
I know it's a rhetorical question, but I'm going to inject my damn opinion. So
what you no, I do. I mean, I am. I do think that at some point I would like to have some sort of material presence on DM's Guild, which is where all the things are.
Mm-hmm. Career changes are awesome.
I know. We're
make another one.
We're pretty bad enablers in that category, though. I mean. Because we both did it. So we're just like, yeah. So why not do it again? No, there's, I'll look it up. There's a website a friend mentioned to me a while ago. She is 40 something, but she has the voice of a Muppet. She always has.
Oh, nice.
So. Like people will call and be like, can I speak to your mom? And she's just like, nope, this is me. Like, this is just how I sound. But she put a voice reel or something on this site and then people can hire you. I don't know. It might be something worth looking into if nothing else, just for fun. If I just feel like making an example reel would be like kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad did my parents did a some sort of a voice acting class before we saw them. So like a year ago, I think. And they had like, they had demo reels that they sent. My dad had a demo reel that he sent me and my mom didn't send it. But then they rehearsed for us their voices that they did for the characters they made. And it was like for like animated characters or whatever. So it was like silly sort of voices. And it was pretty ridiculous.
Oh, I can imagine.
But no, it's totally a thing. And like the idea of the class too was so that at the end of it, you do have this like demo reel that you could potentially like show places. So yeah, it's a thing.
I can see how that would go hand in hand with D&D. But I guess then there's also the question of like, if you ever did it professionally, like would that take the fun out of it for you?
I don't know.
It's hard to say, right?
Yeah.
It kind of depends on if it's like that hustle.
Right.
That goes along with it. If someone was just like, this is yours for the same amount of money you make now.
Yeah.
And you have stability. And just be like, oh, I don't have to hustle to get there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Game development and creative writing, but particularly like world building type stuff is always stuff that I've been interested in a really long time. And it's not a, that's not a muscle I get to flex in my current day job.
Yeah.
You're the people to ask. What replaced SimCity?
What replaced SimCity? SimCity 2000?
I mean, like the SimCity series. Like it hasn't...
Just the Sims. The Sims is still around. Yeah. People are still like really into it.
Yeah, but the Sims
it's a different
is like the
thing.
Same as like city management.
Yeah. I think the idea of city management games sort of died because I guess people thought that like it peaked at SimCity 2000 and then they didn't play anything else like that was like that. I don't know. I mean, there's Roller Coaster Tycoon, which I believe was derivative of Railroad Tycoon. And then after that, there's just everything Tycoon. Like there's just Tycoon for
Lemonade Stand.
Yeah. Lemonade Stand. There's like, and like those things are totally unrelated. And the idea of like a tycoon in any other thing, like, I mean, even roller coasters, but the tycoon thing, like the word no longer has any meaning.
Yeah. It's like CEO.
Yeah.
I'm just a dog and, I'm sorry. He's very needy today. I don't think the Tycoon series though is equivalent. I mean, I guess I guess the mechanics are sort of, but there's something about like a city where you have to do resource management with money and whatnot and like providing services. But there's something about like connecting to these like this mass of people that was, I mean, like Railroad Tycoon, love it, but it's a totally different ball of wax. Like you're trying to destroy someone else. It's not like, you know, SimCity, you were competing against yourself. Civic games, you're competing against other tycoons. You know, it's a different.
Was
Roller Coaster Tycoon was not competing against someone else.
That's fair.
Was Rise of Nations after SimCity? I feel like it was. Did you ever play that game?
I never played Rise of Nations.
It's like similar to SimCity, but you basically like build up your cities, and then other cities will be building up, and then they will attack you. So you have to be prepared for them when they eventually attack. But as it's going on through, you start in like whatever ancient time, and then it progresses through the eras. So as it progresses, you get more technology and better.
I was gonna say civilization, but civilization is not really the same thing either.
Yeah. Well, all right.
That concludes our computer game reviews from the late 90s.
Yeah, to answer your question, Gary, I don't know that anything has taken the place of SimCity.
Okay, that's fine. I can live with that answer.
You can still play SimCity, though.
I always like making.
What are you doing? Chris gave me permission to play SimCity, so playing SimCity.
We recently got a copy of Crossover, so that we could play old Windows games. And I haven't figured out networking so that you could play network games, but like it's pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
Like being able to like play these old games and like they work like fine.
Yeah. I was just talking about the old, I don't know, there was a company called The Learning Company, and they had like a bunch of games that were not shockingly about learning. And my mom was just like, anything by The Learning Company, my mom would buy into for a computer game. She was just like, this is at its heart, like good.
From The Learning Company.
Yeah, exactly.
How could it be bad?
It was like all about like, so it was like Outnumbered, which was all about math and like whatever. There was like a mystery one. And then there was this one with like physics, and you'd like hook up the different battery generators. But someone tweeted about it yesterday or the day before with a little screen cap. And I went like, it like brought back that feeling where you just have that nostalgia where you're like, I remember that. So good.
I remember trying to show my kids the original Oregon Trail.
Oh.
Because I found like an emulated copy somewhere, and I still have it. And like trying to like get them excited about it. And they kind of got it, but like not to the extent that like when I was playing computer games and that was like the most amazing game. And it really wasn't. It really wasn't the most amazing game. It was so easy to like, oh, you just be the banker and you buy a whole bunch of crap and you have lots of money so that when you need to ford the river, you can ford the river and it's fine. Like,
is that how you win it?
Yeah, for sure. You pick the richest occupation, then you have, then you just have money, and you have like three axles. So like when your axle breaks, you just replace the axle. Like it's yeah. Or you could be the carpenter, which is a little bit tougher because you don't have as much money, but he can actually fix the broken parts on your wagon. And I think fording the river works a little bit better when you do that as a carpenter, because you know he knows what the fuck he's doing. But yeah, you'd be the bank. The banker was the easiest one.
Our video game review from.
Well, on this topic, our sprint naming convention this year on my team at work is video games. So we are finishing up Sprint Contra and heading into Sprint Double Dragon.
That's amazing.
Isn't it cool? Yeah, I kind of like it, and then I realize my misspent childhood wasn't quite as misspent as I thought. As I'm like, I've never heard of that game. I wasn't as cool as I thought when I was a kid.
Definitely.
Which is not saying an awful lot, because I didn't think I was a very cool kid. So, whatever.
But, like, the anticipation of the next sprint really, like,
yeah, that definitely.
It definitely.
I have like, no anticipation like, for the next
sprint. I know. It raises that adrenaline.
It's, you know, and it sort of depends on the client. Some clients, we still use the numbering scheme. This is year 20 dot whatever, this fourth sprint or third sprint of year 2020. But other clients that are more, you know, like, hey, we're just writing software here. It's not like, you know, whatever. We're not doing anything important. Those are the fun ones where we can just like call the sprint what it is, you know? It's Contra. We're going to deploy Contra this week. That's fun to say and fun to do. And I'm not deploying it this week, actually. Deploying it the week after. I don't know when I'm deploying it. You don't care. I don't know why it matters.
It doesn't.
Yep.
That's my favorite part, when someone's telling a story and they get hung up about like, wait, it happened on Tuesday. Wednesday? Tuesday. And you're like, it doesn't really matter. Just get to the story.
Yeah. 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 I feel like that's a lot of meetings I have. I start talking and I'm like, oh, but if you look at this namespace and the reason we did that, and I can just see people like, what's on the screen?
Unless it's an alibi for like some sort of court case, you don't need to be clear on what day it is.
Yeah, although if it was a court case and you're on the witness stand and you're like, it's Wednesday. No, Wednesday? Tuesday? That would probably be a bad thing.
Sir, you were under oath.
Just like generally confused. Sir, don't they go through this with you beforehand? Yeah, but
now I don't remember. Do we have a topic? It's 20 minutes in.
Oh, yeah.
We should probably get to a topic. Maybe not. I mean, we could just not.
Who knows?
I'm just wondering.
The topic this week is Lacrimator.
Lacrimator.
Mm-hmm. Lacrymato.
Tor?
Tor.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't hear you say R, but I like.
I said R-Y.
So I heard the O, and I'm like.
Or.
Is there an R on the end or not?
Lack.
A silent R. No.
L-A-C. R-Y. M-A-T-O-R.
Mm-hmm. Well, a mator is a machine of some sort.
Is it what? A
mate.
Of some sort?
It's a mate.
It's a machine of some sort. Mechanical thing. So this is a machine that lacrimates. Or lacris? I don't know. I'm not really sure. Lacrims? No, lacris. Lacries? Oh, this is a machine that makes that crappy water with like the hint of flavor in it.
Like bubbly water?
LaCroix-mater?
LaCroix-mater.
It's kind of a stretch. Sorry.
People really love LaCroix.
I don't get it. I mean, it's okay.
I think I had it once and it was like, this is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a hidden flavor that we didn't try that's the stellar one, like Starburst.
If I want a hint of flavor so that I can't identify, everybody wants. I'll stick with tap water. Like, what
I will say, now I need to find it. I will say that there is the greatest music video about LaCroix by a gay rapper. Yes, Big Dipper. It's his song LaCroix Boy. It's fantastic.
That sentence is everything I wanted it to be.
I was thinking the same thing. Like when the sentence started, I'm like, whoa, hold on. It was so good.
I had no idea where we were going.
Yeah.
It's a website. It's a
mystery novel in a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be in the show notes.
Oh, I should hope so.
Yeah. It's definitely an experience.
Lacrimator.
I wanted to say that it had something to do with lactose. But where I went when you added the mater and you said that the mater was having to do with some sort of like machine or robot was not a place I wanted to continue going. So
I feel like that's valid.
Yeah.
So you're not thinking like a machine that compresses cheese or anything, what you're saying?
That was not the thought that I had. No.
Okay. Let's not keep guessing the thought.
Yeah, we can just stop that. That
I'm good.
That line of questioning can just end.
Is it something a farmer uses?
Line of questioning. There's a pin in that. We're just going to put that pin there and they're going to hold it there.
Okay.
It's just going to stay there.
I have been watching the show pin Tiny when we're not Houses recording. On Netflix recently.
Mm-hmm. You've been watching what?
Tiny houses. Okay. I don't know what it's called. I mean, look for Tiny House on Netflix if you want to watch it, but don't waste your time. I think I've watched 4 episodes. And I'm sure this was like a show that was cool several years ago when the tiny houses were a thing. So now there's no damn good reason for me to watch this other than.
Oh, I remember when this came out on Netflix. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
It exists. That's my review. Yeah, it exists.
Are you out of other things on Netflix to watch?
No, I don't know why I ended up.
Or do you just, you just needed something that's like, this is easy to watch. There's no plot.
We just finished Better Call Saul. So I was like,
I would highly recommend Asian dramas. They are amazing. Or Asian like young adult comedy, romantic comedy type shows. They're very much worthwhile. We just finished one called Cheese in the Trap. And Cheese in the Trap was about this sociopathic rich son of a wealthy businessman who manipulates everyone around him and is the main male love interest for the entirety of the series. And about midway through the show, we're like, okay, this guy is horrible and she's still with him. And the show is about the girl, right? And she's still with him and she knows he's horrible. So maybe this is really a story about mental health and about how like sociopaths are people too or something, you know, like how we're going to get to at the end, there's going to be some sort of moral or there's going to be some resolution to this. There wasn't at all. It just continued in the same vein. And there's always this other dude, or at least from fairly early on, there's this other dude who's like, who used to be friends with him, but then there was a thing and his hand got broken and he blamed the sociopath dude for his manipulative stuff that sort of led to it. And he was a piano player. He was a really good piano player and his broken hand caused him to not be able to play and yada, yada, yada. He's a much nicer and more compatible individual. And so the entire series, you're thinking, oh, well, they're going to get together eventually. Nope, that doesn't happen either. I mean, it leaves so many things just hanging and you keep waiting for something good to happen and it all just wraps up exactly the same as it started. Every episode, you just keep waiting for something different to happen. Like, but maybe this time, maybe
this
time.
You're not selling it, man.
I don't, this sounds too much like politics. I'm not interested.
It's funny though, because you watch enough of like K-dramas or like, Chinese dramas or soap opera type things. And there's definitely like a pattern. There's a formula and they all follow the exact same formula. There's always like the pretty rich boy and like sort of rugged like street smart, but also really, really attractive, like, other guy, and there's always just always some sort of rivalry, and the girl's always, like, oscillating between the two of them, and, like, going to her friends, what should I do, and blah, 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 and, like, they're always, like, what she should do is always, like, tremendously obvious, but she never does it, she never sees it, you're, like, screaming at the TV, it's amazing. It is more compelling than it sounds.
As you explain this, like, I think I know why I went to this Tiny House show when it popped up on Netflix. Because the last episode of Better Call Saul was, like, somewhat intense and left me thinking. And then I was like, I need something mindless. And reality TV, I don't know if there's much more mindless than reality TV.
Yeah, it's very rare.
Where people start talking, and I can, like, literally see them talking, and I have no idea what they're saying. Because I'm like, I just want to see what kind of cool shit they put in this tiny house. I should just fast forward. That's what I should watch the last 10 minutes of every episode tonight and be done with the whole damn series and never revisit it.
It's very rare. Like, in other shows, like American television, like, you watch, it's pretty common that you can watch an episode and be like, yeah, that was really upsetting, and now I need to go to bed. With, like, K-dramas and Chinese dramas and Asian soap operas in general, like, it's very rare that you get to the end of it and be like, that was really upsetting, and I'm, like, emotionally affected. It's like, no, that was fluff, and that's okay. Like, that was completely mindless and, like, really kind of dumb, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm good with that. So we started a new one that's even more ridiculous, and I will have to report back when we've gone through a couple episodes.
Are they generally dubbed in English, or is it
subtitles? Yeah, no, subtitles. Subtitles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the translation thing is often, like, I don't think that's what they said. they seem to say gosh a lot. I don't think that's what that translates to the same thing that gosh means to me. Goodness.
I was watching some sort of Spanish performance, and I was like, oh, I wonder, and I turned on subtitles, and it just said Spanish singing, and I was like,
oh. This is not helpful.
I was like, I know that. Just curious what the lyrics meant.
The last 10 minutes we've barely touched on Lacrimator. I think it's time. Well, I mean, I guess we could continue touching on,
maybe we'll just never know.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe we will, and maybe we'll talk about it in the remaining 6 minutes and 50 seconds, since we don't have any Allison questions.
Yeah, I thought there
we
were
just
more
stare at each other. We could just stare at each other that. Awkwardly for, like, the last minute.
Silence.
Yeah.
Lacrimator. I was saying it a bunch of different ways. I was like, Lacrometer, and I'm like, that's not right at all. It's a substance that irritates the eyes and makes you cry. So, like, there's a chemical in onions. So when you cut an onion, the chemical is a lacrimator.
The chemical is a lacrimator, yeah. Right? The onion is not a lacrimator, but the chemical onion.
So, like, tear gas is also a lacrimator for them. The obvious one.
So, is your tear duct, like, the word for that, a word that sounds like lacro something? Like, is there a reason why it's lacrimator and not, like, I don't know, tear causey chemical?
yeah, so
it's not scientific, number one.
Well, there's, like, lacrimal fluid, comes from, like, the lacrimal gland.
Okay.
And so that's the gland receptors are activated. The gland is what's stimulated to produce those tears.
Okay.
And during my research, I found out that there are three types of tears.
Sorry.
Emotional, reflex, and basal. I don't know how you say that. B-A-S-A-L.
What is
basal?
Basal.
So that's just, like, your normal, like, you're healthy, your cornea is, like, doing its work, and, like, you don't have dry eyes, basically.
And so, because there's three different kinds, they're, like, what can you physically look and see and determine based on something what kind they are? The velocity at which it exits, or
velocity of which
velocity. Wow, how are you crying? I pictured an anime with anime gear with tears just. that's a good question. I'm not sure. I think
you
they might be
able Allison to know everything about all of
yeah.
this. Just like, you know this, so you must know all of this other stuff. No, you looked up a Wikipedia page before the show.
I did go down the rabbit hole about this because I was like, this is kind of interesting. But there's a lot more on it than I was capable science-wise. Because I was just like, once you start getting into I don't know, immunoglobulins and chemicals, I'm kind of...
Did you end up on this topic because of the survey posted on Twitter about crying at work?
No, I didn't.
Or that was just a weird coincidence?
It was a crossword puzzle clue.
Ah.
And then I heard it used on Bon Appetit Test Kitchen.
Hmm.
So that combined, I was like, okay, what are we talking about here?
I've heard this word twice, so it's time.
Although I did take that study about crying at work, so.
As did I.
Yeah. I was not aware of this thing about crying at work.
Oh yeah, I'll try to find the link and post it. It was just a Google survey for someone who was giving a talk on it.
Hmm. Do you cry at work? Time. Have you cried at work?
It's basically that as well as people's perception. If one of your coworkers did, if you were a manager and someone came to you and was crying, would that change your perspective? Mm. Has it changed your perspective? I mean, I think there's likely to be some bias in there, but I basically think her results are going to be a lot more people have cried at work than are letting on. Because also your favorite place to cry.
Yes, that was a good one. At my desk. In the bathroom, in the stairwell.
In the stairwell, yeah, I know. That was definitely my favorite one, where I was where is my favorite place to cry when I'm in, an actual workspace?
I just put desk because, hammock wasn't an option. Wasn't an option.
And I think in the notes, there was is there anything else you want to add? And I basically was just patriarchy.
I hope that she tweets at least some generalized statistics from it. I'd be curious to see, since I don't know what conf it will be given at, so we'll likely not hear anything more about it. But it'd be interesting to see statistics and see, to your point, there's gonna be bias because it's self-identified people that are filling out the survey,
Well, I feel if you're a manager, are you going to just full out say, being yeah, it would affect my perspective of someone? I'm maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
But I've never really been in a manager space in that way, so at least not in the tech industry. So.
Yeah. As a remote employee, I think it'd be it's easier for those things to be invisible to doing what we do.
I don't know if I cried on call with you or not, Chris, but I damn sure did after a call with you early in my web dev days.
I do not remember you crying on a call with me, so maybe it was after and I made Gary cry.
No, you did not make me cry. The work itself made me cry.
That makes more sense.
I
that adds up.
I definitely cried earlier this week about work, but it was not at work. It was sort of a post-stress cry kind of thing. And also, I'm a horrible dad because I had to work through D&D instead of being able to do this thing with the kids.
I'm so sad that whole situation had to happen to you, Chris.
In retrospect, I could have pushed harder about the day that we were doing it and should have, because I knew that was the thing that we were doing. If I forced it to be on Tuesday, I think it would have solved many. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.